Bill Campbell, and welcome to Straight Talk, the radio program produced by and about students. Tonight, joining me in the studio live, I have three students whose parents have made a career of the military here in Alaska. And joining me first is Chris Evison, KJ Ward, and also Amy Martin. Thank you for coming in, everyone, and get the microphone situated here and get started. First off, we'll start with Chris, seeing how you seem to be the most outspoken of the three here.
Thanks, Bill.
Tell us a little bit about your father and what he does.
My father is assistant division commander in charge of maneuvers at Fort Wainwright, the local post. He commands Fort Wainwright and Fort Greely, and that's it's the 6th Infantry Division, which is pretty new. Mm-hmm. But that's what he does.
How long has he been in the military?
He's been in the military for about, I'd say around 27, 28 years. Awful long time, even before I was born. So,
where were you all stationed? Since you can remember, where have you been stationed?
Well, my parents they've lived in Germany before, and they've been to Virginia about 4 times. I was born in Virginia, Fort Belvoir, right outside of D.C. And I've lived all the coasts. I've lived in Virginia, Alabama, Kentucky, Washington State, California, Carmel, and now here.
What do you think about traveling so much and living in so many different towns?
Well, it's really, I mean, there are a lot of benefits to it, and there's also a lot of drawbacks. I mean, you've got to understand that. I've been to around 4 or 5 elementary schools. I've been to 3 different junior high schools, and this is my 2nd high school. So, you know, you really don't have the stability that you would get with schooling and stuff like that. And you really don't get to have very many friends, you know, for a long time. Most of your friends will be, you know, at school. Well, you'll meet at school, but, you know, for the most part, you'll meet kids your own age on base. And that's really all. I mean, that's all you have. And you move around so much that every 2 to 3 years. And, you know, it's time to move on, find new friends, new faces.
Does that ever get old? I mean,
well,
do you keep in contact with people you knew at other bases?
Yeah. My best friend lives in Virginia, and I've known him for about 9 years, but that's 3 letters and telephone calls. And I've lived in Virginia twice, once when I was in elementary school, and when I was in high school. It was my first high school. And so I've known him for a good, I'd say around 9, 10, 11 years.
Right.
But, you know, it's just basically if you're a good letter writer, I guess. But, I mean, other than that, I'm not a good letter writer. I let my fingers do the walking. So, yeah, that's about it, though. I mean, you know, the advantages are, I guess, the schooling. You get a taste of all the different kinds of schools and all the different types of areas all over the United States of America. And, like, KG here has been to Germany before. So, you know, that's even another whole different country and everything. So, you know, I've stayed in, my parents have gone to Germany, but not me. But, you know, there are a lot of drawbacks, and like I said, there's a lot of drawbacks. And
has it been tough jumping from one school to the other? Because obviously not all the schools, you know, you can be a sophomore in Fairbanks, Alaska, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're a sophomore in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, well, I think that I basically have benefited. Now, you see, you get a lot of kids that move, they'll go to a school their freshman and sophomore year, and then they'll move their junior year, and then they'll move their senior year. So, I mean, you're sitting here, you know, and it's a big emotional time during graduation. You really don't know anybody because you've been there for about a year. And, you know, you got friends that are graduating in another school and even friends that are graduating in another school. So, fortunately, I've only been to 1 high school, well, 2 now, but, and so I've known, you know, I have a lot of friends here, I like to think. And, you know, I'm graduating, yeah, so I guess it's pretty cool. Yeah. Nothing too bad.
And let's get to know Amy a little bit here. Amy Martin, thanks for coming on. Again, a little bit about your father. How long has he been in, and what does he do in the military?
My father is the commander of the 409 Cav here in Fairbanks.
Layman's terms. What's the 409 Cav?
409 Cav. It's the cavalry division, and he's in charge, and he flies Cobras and other types of helicopters, yes, and he's in charge of a group of soldiers who do the same.
And you may not know exactly how many years he's been in the military, but as long as you can remember?
Well, yes, since I was, he's been over 20 years, so. Excuse me.
Where all have you lived?
Well, I've lived over 9 different states, ranging from Louisiana to Kansas to Hawaii, and I've been here before. I've lived in Bethel, Alaska, and now I'm back here twice.
How old were you when you lived in Bethel?
Oh, I was, let's say, first, second, and third grade.
So you weren't terribly old?
No. So I enjoyed it. It was all right.
Did you, but, you heard what Chris said about some of the benefits and drawbacks. Anything to add, or did you agree with him?
Well, to me, since I don't know the life of living in one place for since I've been born, then it doesn't bother me at all. I don't know. I get used to moving.
Point.
I mean, the time this year's over, I'll be gone. And yeah. So.
And I was, what are you? You're a junior?
I'm a junior this year, and I'll be moving before my senior year.
And so here you are. You know, you got, 9 months left to graduation, and you're packing up and heading out.
Packing up and moving. But more than likely, the school I do move to will have military kids in it, and I hope I can be accepted right away. Sometimes that's difficult.
Is it?
Yes. We just came from Ohio, and there was no military base since my father was in recruiting. And we went to school with no other military kids, and these kids knew each other since kindergarten, and it was really hard. So they didn't want to accept anybody new.
When we say, do you have brothers or sisters, when you say we, or?
Yes, I have an older sister, but she's out of the house now, and I have my twin sister, Jennifer.
Who's also a junior?
Yes.
Yeah, Bill.
I went on Christmas vacation last week, so that was kind of one of those questions get me going again. How did you finally, you know, get accepted? You said they wouldn't really accept you there in Ohio.
You join groups and clubs. That's the only way to get into different cliques. You've got to show people your interests.
That's one of the reasons why we're all going, basically, is because you got to be. I mean, when you're put in the type of situation where you don't even know any of these kids, and they've, like Amy said, grown up since kindergarten, and you just can't expect to sit in a corner and have them come to you. You got to go to them.
Get out and go to them. I mean, all of us in here are in a different group. Chris is in student council, and KJ's in honor society, and just these are ways to meet people, is get your name up on the wall.
Well, as long as you mentioned KJ, and we haven't heard from him yet, I've skipped over. KJ Ward, again, what does your father do? I know something with Chris's. But.
Yeah, okay. My dad is a lieutenant colonel in the Army, and he's the commander of the 4-9 Battalion on Fort Wainwright. And I guess basically that's an infantry battalion. Mm-hmm. So basically, I guess they command land maneuvers and, you know, strategic things like that.
And a little bit of flying, too.
Men.
or no, you said they're groundwork, so right, they're infantry. Right. I know Chris and Amy said they've been moving a lot. You lived in Germany?
Yes, for 4 years. We were stationed in 1983 in Nuremberg for 2 years. And then we were, we moved to Frankfurt, a little town outside of Frankfurt, called Aschaffenburg. And we stayed there for 2 more years. And I think I could say of all the places I've lived, that was an experience.
How so?
I mean, it's just such a different culture. That's another advantage I wanted to talk about being in military. You're just so open to different, I mean, things that you wouldn't normally experience. There's just so much out there that's so different from your own at home. It's, I mean, the people and the language, the culture, it's really fascinating.
What was the most difficult thing? Because what are you now, 19?
No, I'm 17.
17? Mm-hmm. So it means when you lived in Germany, you were 12 years old or so? 12 through
12,
15-ish?
11 to 15, yeah.
And 15. Well, I mean, that's kind of a, you know, your teens, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that probably helped a lot because, I mean, I was old enough to know what America was and, you know, its ways, but still young enough to be, you know, to have my growing experience in Germany. And it was like, well, the first 2 years I lived, we didn't live on post. And it was in a German town. We had a German house in the German neighborhood. And, I mean, it was just, it's something that you can't learn in school. It's just an experience that's, I don't know, it's just firsthand and it's a lasting.
Mm-hmm.
It's really...
Did they, obviously, you know, being, 11 years old, you never had German in school. Your first years, what was that like, jumping into a German neighborhood?
Yeah, well, you learn it pretty quickly. I mean, you don't have a lot
quickly.
Of choice. But the thing about school, I mean, you could take, I know people that have taken German for 5 years in school, and you could never I mean, I guess you could learn the language, but you can never learn the culture of Germany until you've really lived there. And my first 2 years there, I mean, it was a really typical German community. I mean, it was German, really, really, really German. But, I picked up German right away and had a lot of German friends. And it's an experience that I would never trade for anything.
When you moved the second time, you lived in a military, on a military base, so you're around American.
The second time, in Frankfurt.
How did the German kids all accept you as an American? I mean, did they treat you differently or better or worse?
No, I don't think so. I mean, well, naturally, after I moved the second time, you know, my neighbors were Americans, you know, military. But you can't, even if you're on the post, you never really leave the German, you know, society. I mean, you do a lot of shopping down there. It's just like you're still absorbed in the German culture. And it's just, I mean, I was accepted. I'm not sure if everyone was, but I was really interested in it, so I guess that helped. But I would always go downtown, and the Germans really love it when you speak German. It's, even like if you only know two words, they just love it. And it shows that you're making an effort to delve into their culture, and it's an equal exchange, really.
I took a year of German in high school. Didn't do real good, but it took a year. My father was also, he was in the Air Force. Everyone's Army here, but he was in the Air Force, and he put 20 years in, and he retired the year I was born. And so I know nothing about military, but I've heard more military stories. See, my parents were stationed in France. When I was still a mistake in my parents' eye. And my brothers always talk about having to get up and move and how they had to move in high school and stuff. And they really didn't like it. I mean, for some reason that they're thrown into, you know, new friends and...
Yeah. I can definitely relate to, you know, because before I was in a big school. The school I lived in, I went to West Springfield High School in Fairfax County, Virginia, which is about 20 minutes outside of the capital. And there were literally 2,700 kids in my school. And then I moved into a school of 1,100. Mm-hmm. And that's a big change because, you know, I get more attention now. It's a smaller school. It's a better atmosphere. And you see, that's why I could sit here and say that Alaskan school systems, I mean, people don't know what they got. You don't know what you have until it's gone. Mm-hmm. And one of the famous cliches, but you don't, because the school system that I was at was not very good for the basic reason it was big. It was too big, and they had a lot of opportunities. I mean, they had all sorts of sports, every sport that you can imagine they had there. But the thing about it is, if you haven't been doing it in that community for about 10 years of your life, and you don't know, you know, your friends or your buddies, or you can't succeed in that kind of environment. And I found that very difficult to succeed there rather than here. I mean, here, you know, I played football as a senior, and I could have never done that back in Springfield High because there was just too much competition out there.
Academically, though, like you said, the school in Fairfax, you said, was so large it was kind of lacking. Was it lacking academically? Were
yes,
you behind?
Yes, because,
you?
Well, you had, it wasn't lacking. It wasn't, I mean, they had a good system, but it's just you have so many kids to account for, and you have such a big system that you have to get all these kids, you know, and the bigger bigger you have, the more extremes it goes to. Mm-hmm. And they had to have a sort of generic system. So instead of having the semester schedule, which they have up here, it's more, you know, a year thing. It's
English,
like you take
one,
a year of math. Yeah, English 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Graduate. Yeah.
And that encompasses everything from speech to writing skills, essays, and all that kind of stuff. Whereas here, you know, you have your speech class and essay writing classes and stuff like that. So academically, Alaska is really, really on some kind of educational frontier, you know, and they're breaking new ground here, so, and it's really exciting.
In contrast to what Chris was saying, the school I came from in Woodbridge, Virginia, it was really big. It was like 3,300 people, and it was a really academically motivated school. I mean, that was the top priority there. It was just this really strict, you know, upper-class neighborhood, so you really get a taste of the, you know, different worlds. But then I moved up here, and I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that, oh yeah, Lathrop High School is, you know, not exactly on the cutting edge of academic, you know, education and stuff. But I mean, anything that Lathrop lacks as far as, you know, the technological aspect of, you know, education. It more than makes up for. And just the one-to-one contact between the teacher and the student.
Yeah, I've encountered, I don't know about the other two, but I've encountered many good teachers that I would, really, really good ones.
Well, I ran into the problem of I came from ninth grade junior high school. We had English 1, and I came up here my sophomore year and expecting to be in English 2. But since you have specific classes, you know, your composition classes and your all those type of classes, they wanted to put me not in the honors program but back a year since they didn't think I had enough writing skills. So that was really hard. I had to double up on my English just to maintain my honors level. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of difficult. It kind of upsets you when you have to do more work than what could have been given to you easily.
Mm-hmm. This seems one of the big problems of...
But schools are willing to adjust. Like, I don't know, with gym requirements and things like that. I had health for half a year, and they considered it a gym class, so I didn't have to take more gym than needed. So
Just like me, they didn't require me to take swimming.
Yeah, we got out of swimming.
Yeah, we got out of swimming. Yeah. But I had driver's ed. There was a quarter of driver's ed that you take in Virginia.
Required.
Mm-hmm. You took a quarter of driver's ed, 36 hours of classroom, and then the state even sponsored about 16 hours of behind the wheel, mm-hmm. with state bought vehicles and everything. So that was a state run kind of a deal, driver's education. So, you know, it all got thrown in there, and they said, okay, you're a junior. You're done with your gym. Fine, we'll just give it to you. So I was like, okay.
I could have used that. I had a little fender bender the other night. I could have used driver's ed. If you're just joining us here, we have about 15 minutes into the show, about 15 minutes left. I have speaking with me three students whose fathers, it happens to be, all have made military life a career. I have Chris Ebison, KJ Ward, and Amy Martin joining me. Sorry, Amy. If I've known you for this long, I've forgotten your name. If you have any questions or comments for either of the three guests, please feel free to give us a call on the studio line. That's 474-5044. If you have any questions for Chris or KJ or Amy, that number is 474-5044. When you go on, you know, after high school, do you think you're going to look for stability? I mean, when I say stability, I mean living in one place, having one set of friends, or are you going to enjoy the moving about even once you're on your own? Amy?
Well, I plan to join the military to help for my college, so I assume I'm just going to probably stick with it. So...
Not me.
Not Chris.
I am getting out of the military.
We have debates
done
about
my
this.
18 years. I have done my 18 years of military service.
Ooh.
Are you kind of burned out on it?
Well, there's nothing. It's just that, you know, it just depends. Because, like, my father, I really respect and I really, you know, love my father and what he does. I mean, you know, who wouldn't? But it's just that, you know, when he was in Virginia, you don't know. He would leave at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I wouldn't see him till around 7 o'clock at night because, exactly. you know, going down to the Pentagon and coming home. So you never get to see him. You never get to spend that quality time with him, you know, that I really, really wish I had spent. But, you know, I spent enough time with him, you know. I'm not, you know, strange from him or anything. But it's very trying on the fathers and, you know, or mothers that are in the military because, like you said, it is a career. And, you know, you live on the base and you live and breathe it. You know, and it's like you're saying, we're referred to as dependents, military dependents. That's mm-hmm. the way we're referred to as. Okay. So we, you know, we're
this
really...
This is family members now, though.
Oh, it's we're, family members
we're,
now?
We're family
I'm
members.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. But, you know, the military tries to make it as comfortable as possible, though, because we have such things as a post exchange, right. which is like our little mini mall. And we have the commissary, which offers, you know, grocery shopping, discounted grocery shopping, and, you know, selected services like Birch Hill, the Birch Ski Hill up there is military run and operated. And, you know, just things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess they try to make it as comfortable as possible.
You're making it sound like torture, though. It's
not
torture.
It's not. I'm not making it sound like torture.
I mean, it's great. I mean,
it
you is. Get free medical and dental. I got braces. I mean, hey, I'm happy.
But see, like, you have to understand that. I mean, I agree with Chris a lot because the the sides of military, I mean, being a military, you know, family member and being in the military, you know, active duty, there's a real big difference. I mean, I've enjoyed, you know, my 18 years as a military family member, but I see what my dad goes through every day. And I mean, up at 5 in the morning, and just like Chris said, my dad worked at the Pentagon too for a while. And it's action-packed, but I don't know about the rat race if I want to make my life out of that. But it's, I mean, he loves it. He really does, and I respect that, and I'm glad he's doing what he likes. And I'm enjoying my end of it, but I think once graduation day rolls around, that'll be a severing.
On that plane.
What about, you know, because, like I said, I guess I'm a dependent also because my dad's retired, and I had went out and got my teeth worked on here like 2 months ago. And I went in to go fill the paperwork, and they said, put down your sponsor's Social Security number. And I didn't know it. I didn't know my dad's number. And they kind of looked at me like, I mean, you don't know your father's Social Security number?
Yeah, that's one thing.
Because they didn't care what my name was. It was my sponsor's Social Security number. Do you ever get tired of being a number or your father's number?
Well, I guess in the positions that, you know, Chris, Amy, and I are in, is that our fathers, you know, on Fort Wayne right now are pretty big names. So mm-hmm. you always get known as, by a lot of people, as, you know, the colonel's son or the colonel's daughter or the general's son.
Yeah, that's the big one.
But, I mean, I think I've kind of grown out of that now. And I don't see that as much now because you kind of make a name for yourself. And then you slowly become KJ instead of Colonel Wardson. Mm-hmm. And it helps you to adjust, and you can make a name for yourself. It gives you the aggressiveness to, you know, to stand up, you know, for yourself.
You know, and because you're right, all your parents are base commanders or commanders of a battalion or whatnot. Do other, you know, because you go to school with other kids whose parents are not commanders, and do they ever give you a hard time about that? Is there ever?
Well, you see, I can't tell you how much, you know, I'm really proud of my dad, you know, and all that, and it. But, you know, when you're at school, and, you know, I really don't go out of my way to announce my dad's position.
Right.
So when kids ask me, you know, what does your dad do? I say, well, he's in the military. And I'll start with that line. And, you know, if they leave it at that, they leave it at that. But if they start, you know, going in further, I'll tell them, well, yeah, he's the general in Fort Wainwright. And, you know, you get different reactions. You know, some people treat you like a... I don't know, like some kind of, you know, whoa, your dad's the general. Right. So
does a limo pick you up at the
school? Yeah, all that. But then again, you know, other people just view it as, you know, oh, your dad's a general. Oh, wow. What do you think, you're big or something? You know, so it just depends on the way they take it. And sometimes you'll find yourself, I mean, because like when you're in a school, you don't want to be accepted because of that. You want to be accepted for yourself. You know, you want to make a name for yourself. And it's really hard to do that when you got something like, now see, my sister is, she's just starting high school. She'll be starting high school next year. And my dad's on the promotable list, so he's going to go further in his military career. And my sister's probably going to get, you know, more, she's probably going to get more of that than I ever did. But so it's just that, you know, the higher up you go, the more it becomes not a problem, but the more it becomes, you know, whoa, your dad's the 4-star general in post. Oh, I see. You know, and they'll start really treating you strangely. But I guess if no one knows who you are, you know, you're just like a face in the crowd until
they find out.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not bad. You know, sometimes it's not all that bad. You know, it's really fun because people like say, whoa, his dad's a general son, you know. I mean, his dad's a general. So, you know, it's not that bad.
And, Amy, you know, we kind of got you cornered saying you're the only girl in here. What about when you bring guys home? When you bring home a new boyfriend or something?
Oh, this is funny. Well, we had a problem. My dad answers the phone in a low, deep voice. Uh-huh. And people are really scared to meet him. But it's funny. He's only about 5'6", though. So when we do bring him home, he's really nice. But
I don't think
he
wanted
like,
everybody to know that, Amy.
Everybody's like... Oh my gosh, I don't want to meet your father. He sounds so mean, and he's in the military. And so it's funny.
But yeah, you get those false preconceptions.
Yeah. Oh, your father.
You have to salute when you see your dad in the morning. And he's still my dad.
Yeah. So what's really funny is on my part is when people call, my dad will answer the phone. You know, General Ibbison speaking. You know that kind of because he's so used to it at the office, and they'll just go, "Wow." You know, I'll get on the phone like. Dang, is he mad at me or something? You know, because
or they'll hang up. They'll get really scared at the tone
of voice.
Well,
like Candace, yeah, my sister Candace is well, when her, when selected members of her high school, her junior high school boys call the house, you know. Yeah, so it's really funny when Dad answers the phone because the kids get scared and they'll hang up. I mean, they'll just ching.
You know, it's funny though, when I was calling to get the show put together, I was calling Chris. And I thought the same thing. I thought, oh, great. They're going to, like, tap my phone line. They're going to be curious who's calling the general. And I thought, oh, boy, don't do something wrong. Because that is a misconception. KJ, you had an interesting face when Chris was talking about his sister. And
I think that's more of a personal face.
What about, you know, you both said, like, KJ and Chris, I don't know about Amy, but you said your fathers both served time in the Pentagon.
They served time.
They served time, boy, under lock and key.
What was that like? What was it like having, you know, because that's like the
well,
post. Yeah.
Well, it's great when they want to take you down and show you around. It's fun.
Seen it about, 30 times, maybe?
Yeah.
But what about the security and stuff? I mean, was there ever a problem with that, with being a general son who's at the Pentagon?
No bomb threats or anything?
not really. I mean, he got the parking right really close. And, well, when you walk in, you know, they have the security guard there, and you got to sign in, put your father's
number,
social security number down and all that other stuff, and he has to sign for you, and, you know, that's about all. And, you know, once you start getting into the upper levels, you know, with the Joint Chiefs of Staff hangout, that's when you start getting into, you know, more and more. Top secret stuff, but you know, really, you know, there's nothing wrong.
It's fun though. It's
yeah, it is kind of fun. It is fun. It's a lot of fun.
I remember when we were in Kansas, the very first day we had gotten there. It's Fort Leavenworth, and it's built right next to a huge prison. And the very first day we got there, we had found out a man had escaped, and so there were security people and just looking for this guy. And it's like real comforting place to live. So,
do you ever worry? I mean, because the bottom line is your folks are in the military. And just like, you know, what's going on in Panama right now, they could be called in. Do you ever worry about that? About them having to go off and serve? No, I mean, for instance, your father's a general, so obviously your father's not going to go to the front line. But does that still bother you?
Well, not really. I mean,
I hope it would bother
really don't
everyone.
Ever think about it because, you know, like, our fathers have all been to Vietnam. And, you know, it's like I wasn't born, and I don't think you two weren't either, right? So we really didn't get that. You know, it's like, they've been officers for since, and it's just been basically just moving from job to job. It really hasn't become that serious. Although, you know, during that Panama thing, you know, a couple of my dad's close friends that he knows and some of his former commanders were a part of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they all can relate to that. And, you know, it's just, you know, I really don't think about it that much, you know, to tell you the truth, but because it's just, you know.
And what about the other halves of your family? What about her mother's? How do they...
You know? It's this position up here for my mother has been probably one of the toughest because you understand that the 6th Division is a split division between three bases. And, you know, my dad, the commanding general, General Fields, who was here about a year ago now, he has to fly down to Anchorage a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of flight. He logs a lot of time, and then he has to go to conferences.
A lot of time away
from Hawaii. That's real hard. And, you know, Washington, D.C., and Tacoma, Washington, and a lot of places like that. So, you know, he's not home a lot very often. No, more than ever.
We got about 30 seconds here, 20 seconds. Go ahead, Amy. Do you ever?
Well, I think the worst part about it is when we lived in Hawaii and here, you're isolated from your family, like your grandmas and grandpas.
Yeah, you kind of miss out on that.
Yeah.
You can't. You just want to escape. Weekend trip.
Yeah, you're not really close to your family. I haven't been very close to my immediate, you know, besides my mom and dad. That's about it. I've really gotten to know my family very well.
No
family. Big family.
All my parents are from, grandparents from the Midwest, and we live in Alaska. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. It's already 7 o'clock. The show went by quick. Sessions, Chris got so talkative on us there, huh? Well, thank you very much, Chris Ebison and KJ Ward and Amy for coming on. Amy
Martin
got to say last name. So until next Wednesday night, please join us again for Straight Talk. I'm Bill Campbell. Good night.